just want to start off with a quick poll. What is it that makes you angry? Shout it out. What is it that makes you angry? What? Oh, hold on. Okay, not all at once, I should have said. What was it? Politics, driving, not using turn signals. Is that what those are for? What else? What else makes you angry? Huh? Lies? Not? Oh, unkindness. I thought you said kindness, and I'm like, oh, you're a little odd. Lazy students. What'd you say?
Way out liberals.
Way out liberals, okay. Back to politics.
Arrogance.
Turnovers?
Basketball.
Oh, basketball turnovers. I thought you said comb overs first. I'm like, what else? What?
Undone pancakes.
Undone pancakes. What else? Violence. I haven't heard anything over here. I'm gonna get closer. Yes.
Those who say, "Thus says the Lord," when he doesn't.
All right. Anybody over here putting you on the spot? What makes you angry?
Disrespect.
Incompetence. Are you talking about me? Okay. You better not be. You know what? At the top of my list, the number one thing that makes me angry, people chew with their mouth open. Oh my gosh, I cannot stand it. It's like a horse eating in front of a microphone to me. That's how my ears hear it. I can't stand it. If you're ever sitting with me at a table and I'm just like staring daggers at you, you should probably shut your mouth, okay? That's probably why. Another thing that makes me angry, and you can ask our youth group this, is interrupting. Oh, I do not like it when people interrupt. It also makes me angry when people are rude. It makes me angry when people are overly critical. It makes me angry when people ask me why I wear jeans to church as a pastor. Shouldn't matter what you wear to church, okay? You can wear a suit or not. God does not care. Amen. Hallelujah. It makes me angry that there are starving children in this world and plenty of food throughout. It makes me angry that abortion is the number one cause of death in our nation. It makes me angrier that currently the St. Louis Board of Aldermen is voting on a bill that would create a buffer zone around Planned Parenthood to where pregnancy counselors cannot tell women that there's another option. These are the things that make me angry. These are the things that make my blood pressure go up. And just like me, I'm sure you feel this way too. Well, we want to feel as though in our anger, God is proud of us for what we're angry about, right? It's almost like we want an attaboy at the end of the day when our anger is overflowing against something. We want God's approval for our anger. There's often times in my life where I like to think that my anger resembles the anger of Jesus as he's cleansing the temple. This is not a story that you will generally find in any children's book because it's a Jesus who has a lot of anger going on. It starts when Jesus comes into Jerusalem for the Passover and he walks into the temple and there he sees people changing the everyday currency into Jewish currency for the temple tax and people selling animals for sacrifice, all right? Now Jesus, this is not what makes Jesus mad inherently, the fact that this is happening, because you have to have an animal to sacrifice, and you have to have money exchanged for the temple offering. What makes Jesus mad is where this is occurring. Okay, this used to be outside of the temple, and now it's inside the temple in a place that is supposed to bring glory to God. On top of that, these people are charging huge rates and exploiting the people there who have come to make their atonement with God. If you look in the book of Matthew, Matthew in the same scene says that Jesus tells them, "You have made this place a den of robbers. You're thieves. You're exploiting these people, and you're not giving glory to God." And so in response to this, Jesus makes a whip. Can you picture this for a minute? Jesus actually takes time to make a whip. And you can just picture him like muttering under his breath while he's doing it, like, this is going to show them. They're not going to like this. As he's making this whip, and then, oh, that'll work. And then he goes through like, get out of here. Get out of this temple. That's how Jesus is in this scene. I mean, we like to view Jesus as this gentleman, but no. He comes out with a whip. With a whip. Casting those people out because they're not giving glory to God. God's house is not a place of commerce. Now, I think this would be a good time to talk a little bit about the church today. Because if you're new to Christianity, you're new to the faith, maybe you're new to grace, maybe it seems at times we're a place of commerce, all right? We sell t-shirts, we sell tickets to Parade of Tables, we're selling birdhouses today. But our goal is to not get rich. If our goal was to get rich, we are not doing a good job of it, all right? And you can ask any pastor, any church worker, any staff member in this church that the reason they're in this is not for the money. That would be pretty foolish if we were, because we're not doing a very good job of it. But all the money we take in here, anytime you buy a t-shirt or buy a ticket to Parade of Tables or give an offering in church, it goes to God. It goes for our mission, okay, to connect, grow, and serve. And so every dollar that this church takes in some way engages people in connecting the disconnected to Jesus or one of his followers to grow or nurture our faith and to serve our community. This is not the kind of thing that we do here that Jesus is lashing out against is the gospel. Be at ease, all right? What Jesus is lashing out against is corruption. And as he brings that whip out and starts cracking it, he brings the daily temple activity to a standstill and he points them to another holy place altogether. So you have to understand something about the temple at this time. This was the heart of Jewish worship. People would come here and they had to have an animal to make their sacrifice for their atonement with God, that forgiveness to happen. They had to have their money converted to give to the temple tax again for that atonement. And so when Jesus drives all of these people out, of course he's teaching us that the church, that God's house is not a place of commerce, but he's pointing us in a different direction to a different reality. A reality where animal sacrifice and temple tax is not what gains you salvation. If you look in your bulletins or in your Bibles at John 2, verse 19, Jesus says this, if you destroy this temple, in 3 days, I will raise it up. And he's talking about himself here. And it goes in many ways with what John the Baptist says when he sees Jesus. He says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So it used to be that the animal sacrifices, that the temple tax is what gained atonement and forgiveness with God, but no longer. Jesus is saying, I'm going to be that sacrificial lamb because only one thing can take care of your sin, and it's if God himself dies. I am the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And you see God being glorified in that. And this is where you see Jesus' anger turning to compassion. See, over the course of the Gospels, obviously, Jesus is angry with sin. He's angry with how people live their lives, and yet he winds up on a cross. Anger to compassion, and that's what makes Jesus' anger righteous in the first place. It gives glory to God, and it results in compassion. But let me ask you a question. And here's where our message is going to take a turn. Does your anger ever result in the glory of God? Does your anger ever result in something good happening? For those of us who are naturally angry people, like myself, I would like to think that God is proud of me for the things that I'm angry at. And the more angry you are, the more you are going to try and justify your anger, the more that you're going to try to say, oh, this is righteous, this is holy, I am justified in feeling this way. I wanted God to approve of my anger when I told off a pastor in seminary when I was serving in North St. Louis for telling me that African Americans do not value cleanliness in their worship space. I wanted to be justified in that anger, right? I also wanted to feel as though it was righteous anger, as though God was proud of me when I yelled at one of my friends who was drinking too much and starting to abuse drugs. I didn't yell at him with compassion, but I want God to view that as righteous anger, right? I'm doing the right thing. I'm angry about the right stuff. I want God to approve of my anger when I go online and tear apart this pro-abortion movement. It's not pro-choice, okay? If you're for abortion, it's called pro-abortion. And yet I don't act with compassion on that. See, Jesus has some words for each and every one of us here. And I want you to mark down this verse or pull out your Bible. It's in Matthew 5 because you and I need to remember this. Matthew 5, verse 21. You heard it was said in the days of old, don't murder or you'll be liable to judgment. But I say, if you're angry with your brother, you're liable to judgment. Another way of saying it, if you're angry, you're a murderer. See, how is it that Jesus can get away with anger and make this whip, and yet when I do it, I'm asked to not come back to a church, right? That doesn't make any sense to me. But you see a different result in Jesus' anger versus our anger. See, Jesus' anger results in compassion. Jesus' anger about sin, about how people are living their life, results in the Lamb of God being sacrificed for the sins of the world. You know what my anger results in? Hatred and animosity. Me murdering people in my heart. Be honest with yourselves when you think about this. When was the last time your anger ever resulted in something good? When was the last time your anger resulted in a change in your community that was positive? When was the last time your anger resulted in your family sitting around together and smiling? See, Jesus is pretty clear that our hearts filled with anger have the potential to be murderous. Now, not all anger is bad. Paul says, be angry, but do not sin. But you notice he follows that anger up immediately with do not sin. And I would say that for most of us here, righteous anger is a very rare thing. If anger never moves to compassion, it's not righteous anger, it's just anger. And in anger, we murder. And you see it on the news, obviously. Anger obviously leads to literal murder, literal crime. But who's that person in your life that you hate so much, that you're so angry with, that you've killed them in your heart? Maybe it's yourself. You ever thought about that? That your anger can result in a spiritual suicide? See, our anger always ends. I shouldn't say always. Our anger usually ends in the death of someone, and it's not Jesus. It's very interesting when you look at your life, when you look at all the anger that you have, and you know that if that anger continues, no one is going to benefit. I mean, if you hear, if you are angered by abortion, and yet you do nothing about it, if you never stand up for adoption, if you never take your wallet out to help a woman who is struggling, who thinks she has no other option, then you're not doing anything. Your anger is not going to change the world. Let me be honest with you. Your anger is not going to change the world. but your compassion can. And yet we forget that because our anger usually results in the hatred of something. It drives a wedge between us and others. And as that wedge divides us, we start to take the sovereignty that belongs to God, and we take his role in our hands as we become the judge, the jury, and most importantly, the executioner. And it's not our role to have. See, if our anger never leads to compassion, then we end up demonizing and villainizing people as though they're undeserving of God's love. You know who's undeserving of God's love? You and I. If you take out your Bibles again, I got another verse for you. It's in Romans 5. Listen to this. While we were enemies of God, while we lived contrary lives to the gospel, while we did things that we shouldn't have, that we know we shouldn't have, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Admit it. Your anger is not going to change anything. It's probably not going to result in good until it moves on to compassion. Anger cannot change the world. Only love can do that. See, we see what anger can do as the angry crowd sent Jesus to the cross. And yet God used that to save humanity. See, it's kind of hard because we're in an increasingly angry world. Everywhere you turn around, somebody's ranting on Facebook or on TV or to you in church or whatever it is. And somehow I know that God is going to use all things in the end to his glory. God will work all things together for the good for those who love him. But it's difficult to see the end in sight. It's difficult to see the love of God and the glory of the Father when we're so wrapped up in anger, when we're so wrapped up in hatred. I don't usually end my messages like this. In fact, I never have, but I know that each and every one of you have been thinking of someone throughout this whole message. Somebody that you're angry with. Maybe somebody that you've murdered in your heart. See, Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, to pray for those people who are a pain in the butt. So we're going to do that. You know, when we pray for our enemies, it's not our enemy who changes. It's how we look at them. The only way to get rid of the anger or to move from anger to compassion, from anger to something good, is to look at Jesus and to know that everyone out there that we have anger towards, Christ died for them too. So we're going to pray. In about 60 seconds, you take whatever position feels comfortable for you, whether it's kneeling or whether it's with your hand in your, or head in your hands, whatever it is, and you pray for people. You pray that maybe your anger can be turned to compassion, that your heart would be cleansed of all the hatred. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that we are often prone to anger, that we're prone to hatred, that we're prone to murder people in our hearts, maybe even prone to commit spiritual suicide. Lord, we ask for your help because you're the only thing that can help. Our hope isn't just in you, it is you. Jesus, help us live according to your word. Help us to rid ourselves of the anger and move to compassion. Help us to quit letting our blood pressure get built up over the small things and instead try and make a lasting difference in this world, in our community, in our family. Help us to ask ourselves every day, did I offer peace today? Did I try and bring a smile to someone's face? Did I say words of healing? Did I let go of my anger and resentment? Did I forgive? Did I love? Lord, we know that the only way we can say those things is if we focus on you and if we glorify you. And so, Lord, cleanse us of all those things in our life that prevent us from glorifying you. Help us to get out of the judgment seat that belongs to you. Put us back in our place as Christians who love one another. In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus loves you, and so do I. Amen.